So the title of my message today is A Strange Request from God. A Strange Request from God. In fact, a few weeks ago, Ronnie spoke from the same book I'm going to be speaking from, and it's the book of Hosea. And Ronnie's message inspired me to delve even deeper into this special book that was written by the prophet Hosea. And the book of Hosea is the first of what we call the minor prophets. So for those of you who know the books of the Bible, we have the major prophets. That's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Those are five long books, the major prophets. And then we have what's called the minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. What was that? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Yes, I learned the books of the Bible in children's church. And just a quick side note, parents, get your kids into church. I learned so much at a young age, and I just want to say, don't let kids make this decision on their own. Drag your kids to church. Get them in church. It's very important. So anyway, I want to go ahead and get right into this, what we call a strange request from God. And then afterwards, I'm going to give a little bit of historical context about the book and the time that it was written. So this strange request, we're going to delve right into it. It's in the first chapter of Hosea. First chapter of Hosea, it's in verse 2. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Hosea 1, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." God stunned Hosea by telling him to go and marry a sexually immoral woman. And I'm sure Hosea was more shocked by this command than we are. I mean, after all, didn't God tell us in the Ten Commandments that we shall not commit adultery? Isn't sexual purity something that God desires and demands of His people? The answer to those questions is absolutely yes. So what kind of crazy request is this? Go and marry a promiscuous woman? Say what? I'm sure Hosea was asking those same questions. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. I want to give a little bit of historical context. What was going on? What was going on at this time? So for centuries, the 12 tribes of Israel were a unified nation. And all that changed in the year 930 B.C., and after years of fighting about taxes and fighting about who would become king after the death of King Solomon, the nation of Israel was split into two countries. There were 10 tribes in the north that became one country, and they kept the same name, Israel. And then two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, split off to become another country. And that was just named Judah. So the once great nation was split into a northern kingdom, Israel, and then a southern kingdom, Judah. And then 170 years after that, God spoke to the prophet Hosea, and this is the year 760 BC. God told Hosea that he was not happy that Israel had turned their backs on their Creator. Israel had forsaken the same God who had brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into a free nation. And it seems that Hosea wrote this book specifically about the northern kingdom of Israel. So that's the background of the story. And while we learn a lot about the people of God and their tendency to become unfaithful, we also know the book of Hosea is a story about God. We learn a lot about God from this small book. All right, so back to the story. First chapter of the book, we hear God tell Hosea to go marry a woman who's going to be unfaithful to him. God wanted Hosea to understand in human terms the kind of pain that the nation of Israel was causing to their God. So Hosea married a woman named Gomer. And just as God predicted, Gomer slept around on her husband and eventually left him for another man. I want to read those verses from chapter 1 in context and read that verse 2 again. But I want you to listen to the names of the children. God told Hosea, here's what you are to name your children. I want you to listen to these names. So I'm reading Hosea chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses or horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." And after she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. And the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." These are stunning words that our God gave to the prophet Hosea. God told Hosea to name his first son Jezreel. We know that was in the valley of Jezreel where King Jehu had killed evil Ahab and evil Jezebel and some others. And Hosea was to name this boy Jezreel to remind him of the bloody massacre that took place years ago. You know, I was trying to come up with an American equivalent in our time today for a name like this. And I thought perhaps the best equivalent I could come up with is to name your firstborn son Vietnam. Something crazy like that, right? Vietnam. Vietnam, to remind everybody how the United States lost a bloody war there and had over 58,000 soldiers killed. Could you imagine somebody naming their kid Vietnam? No, man, that's crazy. Nobody would do that. That name Vietnam conjures up all kinds of painful memories for lots of Americans, even today. But that's kind of what this name Jezreel means. Jezreel is a location. The people of Israel knew this name Jezreel. They knew what it meant. And did you hear what the other two kids are to be named? The daughter's name means not loved. And then the second son's name means not my people. Who would use these kind of names for their children? So the first thing we learn from the book of Hosea about our God is that He is an emotional God. Our God has emotions. And many scholars have suggested that perhaps the reason that we humans have emotions is that we were created in the image of God. Our God has emotions and we have emotions. God wanted Hosea to feel his pain, so to speak. The Bible tells us that Gomer left her husband and cheated on him. Now listen to what God told Hosea in chapter 3, if you flip over chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." Hosea had to go and find the wife that had cheated on him and be restored to her. The Bible tells us that when Hosea found his wife, he had to go and purchase her with quantities of silver and barley. His wife Gomer may have been on an auction block being offered to the public as a sex slave. It is entirely possible that the entire town may have seen Hosea go to the auction and buy his own wife back. Can you imagine the humiliation that Hosea must have felt? I'd say that every bone in Hosea's body was telling him to just distance himself from this woman. But God wanted Hosea to understand that this is what it feels like when God's people abandon him and go chase other gods. Our God truly feels emotional pain. And God told us in Exodus chapter 20, when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he said, "I, the Lord your God, am a what? A jealous God." You know, and I remember reading the Ten Commandments as a young kid, and I was blown away when I read this verse, God saying, "I am a jealous God." I remember thinking, hey, wait a minute. I thought jealousy was a sin. that we were commanded not to be jealous. Like, how can God tell us not to be jealous when He clearly tells us that He is jealous? I didn't understand this a long time ago. But we know that human jealousy is different. Human jealousy is nothing more than selfishly desiring something that someone else possesses. Human jealousy is the sin of being discontent with what God has given them and selfishly wanting to take what God has given somebody else. But God's jealousy is different. God loves His people so very much. He desires for His people to be true to Him. After all, our God is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is our Redeemer. He is our everything. We owe Him everything. It is inappropriate for we humans to gladly accept all the blessings from God that He pours down on us and then to turn our backs on Him and do our own thing. God desires for us to be close to Him, to honor Him, to acknowledge Him. It's not an unreasonable thing to ask from the God who loves us. And that's not the same thing as human jealousy. God desires covenant with His people. God desires a personal commitment with His people. And we see how our God is burdened by and angered by the sins of His people. Our God is a God of emotion. We also learn from the book of Hosea that our God is a God of wrath. People of Israel knew very well what had happened to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everyone in Israel knew that God destroyed those two cities because of their wickedness. But that was in the distant past. What about the present? God describes in Hosea in excruciating detail the kind of sins that were being committed in the land of Israel. So what were these sins against God? For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into detail, but I will list these sins by name because this is what God did. This is a nasty list of sinful behavior. The nation of Israel was guilty of all the following sins. First, Israel was following false gods. They were engaged in occult practices. That's Hosea 4, verse 12. Israel was committing sexual adultery. Hosea 4, verse 14. Israel was committing prostitution. Hosea 4:10 and 4:13. Israel was arrogant and was committing the sin of rebellion. Hosea 5:5. Israel was committing murder. Hosea 6:9. Israel was committing deceit and thievery. Hosea 7:1. Israel was guilty of false teaching. Hosea 7:13. Israel had crafted idols in direct violation of the Ten Commandments. Hosea 8:4. Israel was hostile towards prophets who were speaking the truth given to them from God Himself. Hosea 9:7. The leadership in Israel was full of political corruption. Hosea 9:9. And the list goes on and on. Israel was committing lies. They were committing fraudulent activities with merchants, swindling people both when buying and selling goods. Israel was supremely selfish. And perhaps worst of all, God tells us that the people of Israel actually delighted in their own wickedness. God told Hosea that these evils cannot continue. God told Hosea to tell the people that judgment was coming to the land of Israel, not just for their sins, but also for their commitment to wickedness. Our God is a God of wrath. Elsewhere in the Bible, we know that a Holy Spirit-filled believer will not continue in sin, but will be moved to repentance. Now, that's not to say that we instantly become sinless the moment that we become born again. No. But the Bible says, no one who remains in Him keeps on sinning. That's 1 John 3:6. And unfortunately, the people of Israel refused to change their evil ways. History tells us what happened to the northern kingdom of Israel. In the year 740 BC, we know that the mighty Assyrian army began to invade Israel. And over a period of 18 years, they eventually conquered the nation of Israel. And they took the 10 tribes of Israel out of their land and into captivity. And at that point, all that was left of the original 12 tribes of Israel were the two southern tribes in the kingdom of Judah. But I want you to know these events did not happen all at once. Hosea had been preaching repentance over a long period of time. In the very first verse of the first chapter, Hosea mentions this was the word of God that was given him over a reign of four kings of Judah. And the kings were named Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. God had given the nation of Israel plenty of time to repent, but they refused. And you might be thinking, hey, Pastor, I know that was that's how God was in the Old Testament, but things are different today, right? Jesus came and He changed everything, right? God's not still like that today, is He? Well, if you think that our God is no longer a God of wrath, I encourage you to go read the first chapter of the book of Romans. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse from Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 18. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And in Romans chapter 2, we learn that people who delight in wickedness and refuse to repent are quite literally stockpiling for themselves wrath upon wrath upon wrath for the day of judgment. Romans 2 verse 6 says that God will repay each person according to what they have done. The Bible teaches us that anyone who refuses to receive God's plan of salvation and turn to God in repentance will one day be judged by God and will pay for their own sins. Our God is a God of wrath. We cannot sugarcoat this in our churches. And if you have a favorite pastor or somebody that you watch online or listen to frequently, and they never mention wrath, they never mention sin, they never mention hell, you might want to rethink who you're listening to. Our God is a God of wrath. And I'm so glad that our God has offered us His mercy and His grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do to receive His mercy is to repent and believe. God told Hosea judgment was coming. We also learn from the book of Hosea that our God is a patient God. He's a patient God. God cannot condone sin, but He's patient with us, desiring that we should turn to Him and change our ways. Now we find this truth elsewhere in Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we learn God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. God spoke to Hosea in the year 760 BC to warn the Israelites about coming judgment, but the Assyrians didn't come to Israel for another 20 years. God gave them 20 more years to turn from their evil ways. And this is one of the amazing truths about our God. Even in our sin, our pride, and in our failure, we learn that our God is a patient God. And then we learn from history that in the year 597 BC, more than 120 years after Assyria had conquered Israel, we know that the southern kingdom of Judah was also invaded, this time by the mighty Babylonian army. Judah was also conquered, and their people were also led into captivity out of their land. And at this point in history, the nation of Israel should have ceased to exist. But God. Our God is faithful. God gave the prophet Jeremiah a prophecy that said after 70 years, the Babylonian captivity would end. And of course, that's exactly what happened. We know from history, King Cyrus, the king of Persia, he proclaimed in writing that the captives of Israel could return home to their native land, just as Scripture had predicted in the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Amazing. Amazing. The land of Israel and the land of Judah, all 12 tribes of Israel, conquered and taken into captivity, and God restored them, brought them back. The story has a happy ending, so to speak. We learn from Scripture that over 42,000 Israelites from all 12 tribes returned to their native land. The great nation that God had promised to Abraham was back. God had promised that this land would be theirs forever. God fulfilled His promise. We know that Israel began to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after that time. We learn from the story of Hosea that our God is a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. The Word of God teaches us that forgiveness comes from God when we repent and turn away from our sinful ways. You know, after years in captivity, the nation of Israel finally was no longer delighting in wickedness. Generations after generations later decided, we are not going to live the way our ancestors did in wickedness. We are going to turn back to our God. And that's what they did. Listen to Hosea's charge to the people of Israel. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you, the fatherless find compassion. It is unfortunate that the people of his time did not heed those words. But generations later, in captivity, the Israelites turned from their wickedness, turned back to their God, and our God restored them. Listen to how our God responds to repentance. Same chapter of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 4. Our God says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. And even in Old Testament times, this concept of turning to God in repentance and receiving God's forgiveness is not new. It's not a new concept. Years before, God had promised something very similar to King Solomon. You know, in our church building, if you look at the very back, above the little desk back there, we have a single verse posted on our wall. And this verse is 2 Chronicles 7:14. These are words that probably sound very familiar to all of us. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This is God speaking. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our God is a forgiving God. Yes, God is love. Yes, God is patient. But God only extends forgiveness to those who repent in this lifetime. After we die, there are no more opportunities to receive God's mercy and grace. The writer of Hebrews describes this truth in chapter 9, Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Are you eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus Christ? We are destined to die once and afterwards to face God's judgment. Do you know where you would be if you died today? The Bible is clear that we can know for sure that if we repent and turn to God for forgiveness, God will extend his mercy to us and we will live with him forever. And if you're watching us today, please, please don't be one of these people that says, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I'll go to church when I'm old. Please don't be one of these people that says, I'm going to come to God once I get some things sorted out in my life. It's an excuse to live your life in a way that is not pleasing to our God. Don't say, I got to get some things straightened out in my life before I come to God, because you will never get there on your own. You don't come to God once you're in a perfect condition. You come to God as you are. God makes you righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a free gift from our God. And if you're hearing my voice, please understand, today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins. Repent of your sins, and you will become a born-again Christian. It's really that simple. And it's simple because God designed it to be simple. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. Jesus said, He's the way, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way for anyone to reach heaven. As we close here, the book of Hosea teaches us so many things about our God. Our God is emotional. Our God is a God of wrath. Our God is patient. Our God is faithful. Our God is a forgiving God. And if you've never done so, turn to God right this very moment. Confess your sins and receive the gift of salvation paid for by the very blood of Jesus Christ. And you will become a new creation. You will pass over, literally, from death to life once you make that decision. And this is what we call the gospel. The gospel has been taken over. It's been hijacked by certain people on TV that will tell you that the gospel is all about God making you healthy and wealthy for all your life. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to give us hope. Jesus is who He says He is. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Receive His gift of salvation today, and I promise you will never ever regret it. Let's close. Father, You are a great and awesome God. Lord, we are so thankful for this story from the book of Hosea. Lord, we're so thankful that You reached down to this prophet, God, and You have taught us so many things about Yourself. And Father, while we are dismayed to hear that the nation of Israel and eventually the nation of Judah turned against You, God, we are so grateful You restored them to their land. God, You fulfilled Your promise, Your covenant with Abraham. And God, You have restored the nation of Israel still standing today, God, because You desired to be so. God, we are so thankful for Your providence. God, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace upon our souls, God. We thank You for Your mercy that takes away the judgment we deserve. We are thankful for Your grace that gives us the eternity in heaven that we do not deserve. Father, we uplift You today, and we just say thank You, God, for Your plan of salvation. And Father, if there's anybody hearing My voice, Father, watching online, perhaps it's a delay, perhaps they're watching this years later, God, if there's anyone hearing My voice, may You stir in them, Father, their need for a Savior, God. You stir in them their need to repent and turn to You for forgiveness. I praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.